Why is the military getting woke?
Mr. Reagan.
All right, so you may be wondering, Chris, what is with the exotic location? Well, I'll tell you what. Sitting around researching political issues, doing videos on those political issues, and then editing them is a very sedentary lifestyle, and I've gotten incredibly fat. So, Valeria and I came to Hawaii for a few weeks as a kind of recuperative measure. I'm trying to bicycle, I'm trying to hike, I'm trying to lift weights and get a little bit better in shape like I used to be before I started doing this YouTube channel. That's also why it's been about a week since I've recorded a video, but if you go to my Mr. Pagan channel, there's a very profound and hilarious video there if you wanna see something else, or you might find it just annoying and stupid depending on your perspective. But anyway, I got another video up on Mr. Pagan. Please subscribe to that channel. I need all the support I can get on that. I'm trying to build that channel up. I even had a leftist write a comment the other day that says, "I don't agree with your politics, but I love your sense of humor." And that's the whole point, isn't it, guys? That's the whole point of that channel. So it would be amazing if you could support me there, subscribe to that channel, give me a like, something like that. Okay, so why do I think the military is getting woke? You know, it's really weird. We've all been thinking about this. We've all seen the ads.
It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age.
You know, we've seen General Milley talking about this like he's some kind of moron.
On the issue of critical race theory, that was started at Harvard Law School years ago. What is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out. I want to maintain an open mind here, and I do want to analyze it. I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it.
And look, Milley is a brown noser of the first degree. I mean, that guy knows how to, what do you call it in Russian, darling? Licking assholes? Yeah, yeah. In Russian, they don't say kiss ass, they say lick ass. So anyway, that's what General Milley is. He's an ass licker of the first degree. He knows exactly who to say, oh, you know, I'm on your side politically. You know, he's trying to maintain his position. He knows the Democrats are in charge. Of course, he's going to promote critical race theory and all this baloney. But this doesn't necessarily explain why it's being implemented in the military. I mean, obviously, if you take a bunch of tough military guys and you say, you know, you got to take this critical race theory class and we got to talk to you about white rage and about how all black people are oppressed and stuff like that, you're obviously going to create division in the ranks. You're going to reduce morale. A lot of people are going to leave the military, of course, because they're going to be disgusted with this stuff. Because a lot of these military guys are Republicans, right? I mean, let's be perfectly blunt about it. They're conservative Republicans. They're good old boys. They have a sense of tradition. They have a sense of good traditional Christian values. And if you start pumping their brains full of this stuff, they're going to just become disgusted. They're going to leave. And that's what we're seeing.
One Marine told us that a military history training session was replaced with mandatory training on police brutality, white privilege, and systemic racism. He reported that several officers are now leaving his unit, citing that training. We're hearing reports of plummeting morale, growing mistrust between the races and sexes, where none existed just 6 months ago, and unexpected retirements and separations based on these trainings alone.
Not just white soldiers, black soldiers as well. Female soldiers.
One African-American officer disparagingly said, and I quote, "The Navy thinks my only value is as a black woman, and not the fact that she is a highly trained military specialist."
Soldiers of all stripes are leaving the military in droves because they're disgusted by this stuff. And this got me thinking, I think that's the point. I think that the reason that this stuff is being pushed in the military, in the CIA, in the FBI, probably the NSA as well, all these different agencies, all these different military branches, the reason that they're doing this, I think, is so they can eliminate the conservative element in the military. They realize, and of course this is a pipe dream, this is ridiculous, this is never gonna happen. They're not gonna get rid of the conservative element in the military. It's always going to be the dominant element in the military. But that's the idea, that's what they want to do. They want to create a military of soldiers who are loyal to leftist ideology. Now we've even heard people in Washington, D.C. talking about this. They've said that they want to eliminate extremism from the military. Do you remember that?
Today, the Pentagon announced new initiatives and a new working group to counter extremism in the ranks.
The Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin ordering a service-wide stand down for the next 60 days. The goal? Give military leaders the chance to address extremism in the ranks. This comes after the Pentagon was surprised to find veterans and active duty service members among the Capitol rioters last month.
People have been talking about the concern about white supremacists and militias, you know, in the military for a long time.
Our purpose is to address a concern that has likely been around for decades and has either been dormant or simply ignored.
The military's 2 million active duty and reserve men and women were all recently ordered to pause their day jobs and stand down to admit they had a problem.
Never has this been more important than now as we face potential threats from within.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lloyd Austin.
In February, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin required every unit to discuss extremism in the ranks.
Views and conduct that run counter to everything that we believe in.
But what is extremism? What do they mean by extremism? What they really mean is people who are politically conservative. That's their vision of what extreme is in the military, right? That's what the code word is, right? Extremists. But why? Why does it matter? Why does it matter if our soldiers are conservative? Here's why I think they're doing it. I think that the Democrats know that they've done a lot of less than honest things, let's say, in recent days, months, maybe even years. They know that eventually they might get caught with some of the stuff that they're doing. Now think about it like this. Let's move away from planet Earth. Let's move away from reality. Let's go into the fantasy science fiction world of planet Terth. Okay, on this planet Terth, very similar to Earth, there was an election recently by, and somebody got elected by the name of Bo Jiden, right? And he beat out a prominent, what they would call on their planet, conservative politician. By the name of Donaldus J. Trumpius, right? Donaldus J. Trumpius was an amazing leader. But the Decepticrats on that planet, they wanted somebody else. They wanted to control things. And so they put in a feeble, absent-minded fool by the name of Bo Jiden. And they did this so that they could control him, right? This is obviously a fiction, nothing to do with our world. Our world doesn't have phony elections. Our world doesn't have fraud. That's not possible here. But in this fictional world, it is possible, and it has happened. And this guy, Bo Jiden, was fraudulently elected. Their entire federal government is fraudulent. This, of course, is in the country of the Unified States of Amercria up there in planet Terth. And so the trouble on planet Terth is that they know it's fraudulent, right? The people who committed the fraud up there on Terth, they realize that eventually the people are gonna figure this out. And they're terrified, right? They've got this thing on Terth known as the Zarazona Audit. Right, and it looks like that's about to produce some evidence to suggest that the Decepticrats cheated in their election up on the planet of Terth. So, the question for the Decepticrats out there on that planet is, how do we maintain control of the populace and after they've already figured out that we cheated them in their election? How do we do that? And it's a tricky question, right? It's a dangerous, volatile situation. There could be an instance on planet Terth, in the Unified States of Amercria, there could be a situation in which the military itself plans and executes a coup d'etat, right? Takes out the government, because the government is fraudulent, and puts back in place the government of Donaldus J. Trumpius. And they would, of course, do that because Donaldus J. Trumpius, on the planet Terth, actually did win the election. He is the rightful executive of the Unified States of Amercria. That's his position. You know, the people of Amercria voted and he won, right? So this fraudulent government should be taken out. And it doesn't really matter if they leave willingly or the military up there on Terth takes them out. Now, the Decepticrats realize that a lot of conservative soldiers would be loyal to such a plan of removing a fraudulent dictator. And so that's why I think they're trying to purge the military of essentially white men with traditional values. But if they had an entirely loyal military filled with a bunch of woke leftist lunatics, right, teaching critical race theory, much like we teach here on Earth, well then in that case, they wouldn't so much have to fear such a revolt. At least that's why they're doing it up there on planet Terth, because they're doing exactly the same thing there as they're doing here. So it's an interesting analog, you see. But, you know, that explains a lot. It explains a lot because I don't think the Democrats are delusional about this. I think they realize that if you have a bunch of woke soldiers, they're probably not going to be as effective as a bunch of strong soldiers with traditional values that have loyalty to the United States of America and all this sort of thing. And the same thing here. The Democrats know that you're not going to have a good military if it's a bunch of pansies who believe in critical race theory. They know that they need the tough, strong-willed, loyal Americans that you get with a traditional military, which you get with, you know, conservative soldiers, people with traditional values. They know that. They totally know that. But they don't care, because it's more important that they have total loyalty from their military than they have a strong military. And so that's what I think's going on. All right, so those are my thoughts on the current situation in the military. Let me know in the comments below if you disagree with me. Look, I may be wrong about that, but given what I've talked about recently about the FBI controlling a lot of the stuff in the federal government, I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense that the people in control, they want more and more control of everything. Because the way this whole system works, the way I see it working, is if you're the kind of person or group that realizes, okay, we're willing to do something that is totally unethical, that's totally illegal, in which, you know, a lot of people are going to be upset, we have to very tightly control every aspect of, you know, what's going on here. Every aspect of the government, every aspect of the private sector, every aspect of the lives of the people of our country. And the reason they have to control everything so tightly is because you will get people reacting in a severe way if they realize exactly what's going on. And so before people wake up, before people realize it, before people have the evidence they need to act, you have to have everything locked down. You have to have everything controlled perfectly. And if you have the military controlled, well, the military can't revolt. If you have the media controlled, well, the media can't report on you. If you have the politicians controlled, they have to vote the way you tell them to on certain bills or whatever. If you have the president controlled, well, you've got a lot of power there, don't you? And if you have social media controlled, well, you control the flow of information. And as we see, the White House is now controlling what Facebook is censoring, at least with regard to COVID, but probably with regard to a lot of other things. But that is going to be another video that I'm producing soon, so we'll get to that soon. All right, guys, well, that's it for me. Remember to check out my other channel, Mr. Pagan. A link will be in the description below. And remember, it's not that our liberal friends are ignorant, it's just they know so much. That is not so. Good night.
This is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, therein lies the road to war. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery.
The great one, Mark Levin's brand new book, American Marxism. Not only did it debut week one on the New York Times bestseller list, no. Mark's hardcover sales, that's only hardcover, sold over 329,000 copies. Now, that number does not include e-books. A lot of people buy their books and they read it on whatever tablet or iPad they may have, or even their phones. It doesn't include audiobooks. It is an incredible achievement. Mark's new book is now outsold. The next 15 books combined in the country. That's an incredible statistic. He's the host of Life, Liberty, Levin, and his own nationally syndicated radio show. I call him the great one, Mark Levin. Well, you know, I did tell you, in my humble opinion, we've been friends for decades. I said, Mark, when you sent me an early copy, I said, I think this is your best book. And you know what a fan I was of everything from Liberty and Tyranny to Rescuing Sprite even. But this is a timely book for this moment. Tie it together to the moment, today, what's happening in the country. That's the six-month mark of Joe Biden.
I can't even tell you, we're almost at 500,000 books now in a relatively short period of time. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I was part of the Reagan Revolution. I was part of the Tea Party movement. I was part of the Trump revolution. There is a massive movement afoot. It's not under the radar. People just aren't looking at it. The silent majority is not going to be silent anymore. The American people are furious with what's happening to their country. And by American people, I mean all American people who love this country, regardless of their color, their religion, their background, red-blooded Americans. They are sick and tired of what they've seen in the first 6 months of this administration. They don't like the way they're being treated by the elites in the media. They don't like being looked down upon by these phony professors who they bring on TV who trash them. They are disgusted with the teachers' unions. Parents all over this country can't believe what's happened to elementary schools and secondary schools. Parents go broke to send their kids to college, and now they're coming home on Thanksgiving or other days, and they don't know what's happened to them. We are paying for our own demise with tenured Marxist professors and administrators for schools that are turning on our founding and our history. Americans love their history. Americans love their history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Americans are sent all over the world to fight wars for people who do not look like them. America's borders are wide open. We have a president of the United States who is violating our immigration laws, who signs executive orders like he's Benito Mussolini. We're sick and tired of hearing from San Francisco Nancy Pelosi and New York City Chuck Schumer what they intend to do to our court system. Those courts belong to us. Attacking separation of powers and our constitutional construct. We're tired of the way the family is trashed in this country, the family. We're tired of the way private property rights are treated in this country. We're tired of a lot of things going on in this country. Now, we, the people, we are peaceful. You won't find us running around with Molotov cocktails. You won't find us attacking cops. We defend the cops. You won't find us burning cities and so forth and so on. We're not mostly peaceful. We're 100% peaceful. But we are pissed off, and we have had enough, and we're done talking about it. The idea that a book like this sells 400,000 copies in 1 week and is well on the way to 500,000, I've been in these movements before. I saw what happened with Liberty and Tyranny in the Tea Party movement. We know our history. We are a great people, and we have people in this country who haven't contributed a damn thing to it, and not a damn thing to it. Trying to tear it down and redistribute wealth. They sound like they're soapbox Marxists going on and on about we don't provide this, we don't provide that, and Bernie Sanders is going to provide it, and AOC is going to provide it. They don't know a damn thing about this country. They use the benefits of capitalism to attack capitalism. They use liberty to attack liberty. They use the Constitution to attack the Constitution. I've been around a long time. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit still for this. And they don't understand the American people. The American people are not going to roll over and play dead. The American people are going to speak out. And let me tell you what's going to happen in 2022 with the Manchin types and the others who pretend to be moderates, who play footsies with these American Marxists. You're going to get blown out. In fact, every damn one of you is going to get blown out. So kiss your career goodbye. You may have power now. You may be trying to force your will on the American people now, but it will not last. That's what's going on in this country. I feel it and I know it. That's all I have to say.
Great one. I wanted to say this about the book. Last thing, if you don't mind. Seven chapters in the book, you lay out the case of the challenges this great country faces at this current moment in time. Chapter 7 is over 10,000 words, which is a lot for a chapter in any book. And we choose liberty. That's the answer. And I wrote you when I read it, and I said, that's the answer. Great job, sir. Congratulations. Well done. And
thank
you,
Sean. God bless.
Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere, American Marxism, Life, Liberty, and Levin. Every Sunday night, number one show right here on the Fox News Channel.
I don't even like to mention Biden because he's not controlling anything.
Who do you think is pulling Biden's strings? Is it former Obama
officials?
People
that you've never heard of. People that are in the dark shadows.
Joe Biden is a puppet. So who is pulling the strings?
Mr. Reagan.
Now, what I'm about to say is speculation. This is speculation based on a myriad of facts, but it's speculation nevertheless. With that said, let's get into it. The other day, Joe Rogan said what everybody in America was already thinking. He said, Everybody knows he's out of his mind. He's barely hanging in there.
You know, we don't really have a real leader in this country. You could say Joe Biden is the president, he's our leader, and you'd be correct on paper, but everybody knows he's out of his mind. He's barely hanging in there.
Of course, people have been saying this since the early days of the Democrat primaries, way back in 2019. It's clear to most reasonable Americans that Joe Biden is not even in control of himself, much less in control of the country.
And we'd play games. I said, make up a game, knock on the door and say, this is, you know, practical things.
But you know, that little expression, the proof of the, you know, is going to be in eating the pudding.
One of the people directing that and creating that what's happening in African American
we cannot let this. We've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never let our democracy takes second fiddle.
I know we have to help 500, you know, small businesses or 500 or less, but what are you going to, the way you revive the economy is you defeat the disease.
How are your meetings going in Cornwall, Mr. President? How are your meetings going here in Cornwall?
Very well.
Come on.
He didn't write anything. Look, he has people, he has professionals from the Democrats writing. He didn't write that. That was done by a Democrat operative. He doesn't write. He's probably not even watching right now. And if he is, he doesn't understand what he's watching.
You saw the statement the president, we put out in the president's name this morning.
We put out in the president's name.
We put out in the president's name.
This morning, in his voice, of course, conveying his support for the people of Cuba.
And so if the president is not in control, who is? Let's take a quick glance at some of the primary contenders. Barack Obama, Obama's former team, people like Susan Rice, Anthony Blinken, and Alejandro Mayorkas, the DNC, Hillary Clinton, the Fed, Janet Yellen, China, Nancy Pelosi, George Soros, Tom Steyer, Hans-Jörg Weiss, the UN, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, Hollywood, news media companies, labor unions, teachers unions, Black Lives Matter, the former members of the Weather Underground, Ivy League academia, environmental activists, LGBT activists, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the military-industrial complex. These are all names that you'll hear from most conservatives, but which of them is it? Which one of these is actually controlling Joe Biden? I'll answer that question in one moment. First, I have to sell you something. Diversifying your investment is like building a sports team. Each asset plays different roles. You have offensive players, assets that make gains and pay dividends. But equally important is your defensive line, assets that will protect the value of your investment. And there's a 5,000-year-old asset that's seen every world crisis that there ever was and thrived. Gold. Gold and other precious metals. The oldest hedge against inflation and disaster. Your stability insurance. If you put gold into an IRA, you even defer the tax on all gains until you retire. So you get compound growth on everything. That can add thousands of dollars to your fund over the years. And you'd have stability, peace of mind that you made the right choice. Take out an IRA with Noble Gold this month, and along with first class service, they'll be gifting you a 1/10 ounce gold bullion American Eagle coin. To find out more, go to their website, noblegoldinvestments.com, or call them at 877-646-5347. Again, noblegoldinvestments.com, or call them 877-646-5347. Before the break, I read off a list of most of the major players suspected of controlling Joe Biden and the federal government. So which of them is it? Well, I think the simplest and maybe the most accurate answer is all of them. Now, that's not a very satisfying answer, I know. I know what you really want to hear is, you know, a single entity, one all-powerful organization, or even one man who's pulling the strings. And actually, I think there is one. But I'm going to save that for the end of the video, because the truth is that even though I think power really has been concentrated, in reality, the deep state is not just one man or one group. It's a vast network with many major players. And we need to dig into a few of them to really understand how Joe Biden and the federal government is currently being controlled. Everyone has heard the term deep state, but few know what that term really means. In 2014, halfway through Obama's second term, a man by the name of Mike Lofgren was interviewed by Bill Moyers. And immediately after that interview, he published an article entitled Anatomy of the Deep State.
This is a difficult subject to talk about. It would be easier if it were a conspiracy you're describing, but that's not the case, is it?
No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This is something that hides in plain sight. It's kind of a natural evolution when so much money and political control is at stake in the most powerful country in the world.
And you call it the real power in the country.
Correct. It is a hybrid of corporate America and the national security state. Everyone knows what the military-industrial complex is. Everyone knows Wall Street and its depredations. Everyone knows how corporate America acts. They're both about sucking as much money out of the country as they can, and they're about control, corporate control and political control. The common narrative of the last 5 years is that government is broken, it's dysfunctional, it's gridlocked. Well, that's true, and that is the visible government, the constitutional government we learn about in Civics 101, and it is gridlocked. But somehow Obama can go into Libya, he can assassinate U.S. citizens, he can collect all our phone records without a buy your leave from anyone. He can even bring down a jet carrying a president of a sovereign country without asking anyone's permission, and no one seems to connect the two. The failure of our visible constitutional state and this other government that operates according to no constitutional rules or any constraint by the governed. It's all the national security functions of the government. It's the Pentagon, it's Homeland Security, it's the State Department. It's also Treasury, because they have a kind of symbiotic relationship with Wall Street.
For one thing, they control the flow of money.
Absolutely. And that's why there's such a flow not only of money but of personnel between Wall Street and the Treasury Department, a small portion of the judiciary, the so-called foreign intelligence surveillance courts. Most of Congress doesn't even know how they operate. We're having a situation where the deep state is essentially out of control. It's unconstrained.
Groupthink. At some point in your essay, you talk about how groupthink drives the deep state.
It absolutely does, just as it tends to drive any bureaucratic organization.
What do you mean by groupthink?
Well, the psychologist Irving Janis called it groupthink. It's a kind of assimilation of the views of your superiors and your peers. It's becoming a yes man. And in many respects, it's an unconscious thing.
I remember what Upton Sinclair once said, it's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it.
That is certainly a part of it. Wall Street is perhaps the ultimate backstop to the whole operation, because they generate so much money that they can provide second careers for a lot of the government operatives. They're going to make more money than they ever dreamed they would on Wall Street. And I think a good example of that is David Petraeus. What did he do when he retired? He went to Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, a Wall Street buyout firm with $90 billion in assets under management. The vast majority of generals seem to end up on the boards of defense contractors. The National Security Agency could not do what it does. The CIA could not do what it does without Silicon Valley. Its services are necessary, and de facto, they have become a part of the NSA's operations. This has mostly been voluntary for many years.
You mean the surveillance?
The surveillance.
The gathering of information on unknowing citizens.
Precisely. They've done it themselves, and they've assisted the NSA through a FISA court order. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It's more ill-defined than simply saying Wall Street or saying the military-industrial complex or saying Silicon Valley or the corporations. It's a symbiosis of all of the above, a government within a government that operates off the visible government and operates off the taxpayers, but it doesn't seem to be constrained in a constitutional sense by the government.
This was the first serious reference to the deep state, and it is, in my opinion, still the best insight into it. This is because I believe that after this article was published, deep state operatives were very unhappy with the curtain being pulled back, their secret dealings being exposed. And the deep state operatives went on offense. They cut off any further exposure and they began to spread misinformation in an attempt to cast the concept of the deep state as just a crazy conspiracy theory. In his article, Lofgren describes the deep state with a fairly high level of detail. He even names a few people. Lofgren writes, "It is a hybrid of national security and law enforcement agencies, the Department of Defense, the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, the Central Intelligence Agencies, the Justice Department." He writes, "I also include the Department of the Treasury because of its jurisdiction over financial flows, its enforcement of international sanctions, and its organic symbiosis with Wall Street. All of these agencies are coordinated by the Executive Office of the President via the National Security Council." He also says certain key areas of the judiciary belong to the deep state, such as the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA, whose actions are mysterious even to most members of Congress. Now remember, this is in 2014, so this is before the whole FISA abuse scandal. He goes on. "Also included are a handful of vital federal trial courts, such as the Eastern District of Virginia and the Southern District of Manhattan, Southern District of New York." That's the court that is currently persecuting Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, and the CFO of the Trump Organization. He writes, "The final government component, and possibly last in precedence among the formal branches of government established by the Constitution, is a kind of rump Congress consisting of the congressional leadership and some, but not all, of the members of the Defense and Intelligence Committees." He goes on. "What is euphemistically called private enterprise is an integral part of the deep state's operations." He says, "The director of national intelligence, James R. Clapper, is a former executive of Booz Allen Hamilton, one of the government's largest intelligence contractors. His predecessor as director, Admiral Mike McConnell, is the current vice chairman of the same company. Booz Allen is 99% dependent on government business. These contractors now set the political and social tone of Washington, just as they are increasingly setting the direction of the country. But they're doing it quietly. Their doings unrecorded in the congressional record and are rarely subject to congressional hearings." He then goes on to say, "The corridor between Manhattan and Washington is a well-trodden highway for the personalities we have all gotten to know in the period since the massive deregulation of Wall Street. Robert Rubin, Lawrence Summers, Henry Paulson, Timothy Geithner, and many others. In 2013, General David Petraeus joined KKR, a private equity firm with $62.3 billion in assets. General Petraeus' ability to peddle influence is a known and valued commodity." He then writes, "We are faced with two disagreeable implications. First, that the deep state is so heavily entrenched, so well protected by surveillance, firepower, money, and its ability to co-opt resistance, that it is almost impervious to change. Second, that just as in so many previous empires, the deep state is populated with those whose instinctive reaction to the failures of their own policies is to double down on those very policies in the future." And finally, he writes, "As long as appropriations bills get passed on time, promotion lists get confirmed, black, i.e. secret, budgets get rubber stamped, special tax subsidies for certain corporations are approved without controversy, and as long as too many awkward questions aren't asked, the gears of the hybrid state will mesh noiselessly." And so we see the deep state is primarily a complex mechanism by which corrupt politicians, Wall Street swindlers, the military-industrial complex, and unscrupulous intelligence agents can all get rich. And because the deep state often must imbue certain operators with a great deal of authority, I suspect that the seductive allure of power also plays a significant role in how the deep state operates. Hunger for power can be a potent motivator. It's been 7 years since Mike Lofgren gave that interview, and a lot of things have changed since then. In his article, for instance, Lofgren speculated that Silicon Valley might be a remedy for the deep state. He writes, "For high-tech entrepreneurs, the cash nexus is ultimately more compelling than the deep state's demand for patriotic cooperation." Oh, how wrong he was. Social media giants are now a critical tool of the deep state. They are the mechanism by which the deep state violates the First Amendment rights of American citizens, by which they quiet opposing political views like mine, and by which they shut down their political enemies, even the president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the real fly in the ointment, the monkey wrench tossed into the gears. Donald Trump was the worst thing to ever happen to the deep state, and the best thing that could possibly have happened to America. Republicans made it clear during the Obama years that they were no longer going to suffer corrupt conservatives in office. We made our voices heard through a movement called the Tea Party. The establishment was to be voted out, and true conservatives interested in working for the American people, not for their own selfish interests, they were to be voted in. The corrupt Republicans in D.C. were on notice, and they got the message. Those that weren't voted out of office, they cleaned up their act, or at least they made every effort to appear to have done so. And what it looks like to me is that eventually everybody in D.C. came to understand that if you wanted to be a player in the corrupt machinations of the deep state, there was only one party to work with, the Democrats. I suspect that there was some hope that this goody-two-shoes attitude of Republican voters was just a fad and that it would die down and that the corrupt Republican deep state politicians could one day rejoin the game. But then Trump was elected, and the Republican Party was all in on being the party of law and order, and the Democrats took their rightful place as the party of corruption. And since January, the deep state has reestablished itself in D.C., but this time, it doesn't plan to ever give up power again. You see, I think Donald Trump was like a massive rock dropped smack dab in the middle of the intersection of all the deep state arteries. Nothing could flow through D.C. anymore. Trump was an immovable object that the deep state just couldn't get out of the way. I mean, not that they didn't try. But Trump was too rich to be bribed and too clean to be blackmailed. And every time the deep state made a move to push Trump out, they exposed themselves. Comey, Strzok, Brennan, McCabe, Clapper, Evelyn Farkas, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch, etc., etc., etc. All these deep state players and many more were exposed because of Donald Trump. And Trump drew our attention to China as well. Few were talking about China until Trump started campaigning for president. He was shouting from the debate podiums, "Why aren't we worried about China? China is our biggest threat." And Obama and Biden and Hillary and the rest of the Democrats, they just dismissed it. But why? China was a threat. Well, because a lot of money was flowing in from China. And China, it turns out, was an integral part of the United States deep state. Just how aware Obama or Biden or Hillary was of China's influence on America, I don't know. I'm sure there are others who have a better idea than I do about that, but they must have had some idea. And just how influential is China? Well, during the Trump years, when the deep state was effectively shut down, China had zero influence. But before Trump, and since Trump, China was and is massively influential. The Chinese would even argue that they're the ones in control of the American government right now.
所以我们有路径依赖，是吧？但问题是，08年之后，华尔街的地位下降了，更重要的是16年之后，华尔街搞不定特朗普，为什么？很尴尬，特朗普以前对华尔街有过一次软性违约，所以双方有矛盾啊。当然，这个细节我就不多说了，时间可能已经来不及了，是吧？那么这个中美贸易战过程中，他们也试图帮忙啊，据我所知，美方的朋友跟我讲，这个试图帮忙，但是 利有不逮啊！但现在呢，现在我们看到拜登上台了，传统的精英政治精英啊，这个建制派，他们跟华尔街的关系是非常密切的。所以大家看到吧，拜登的儿子被特朗普说你在全球有什么基金公司，发现没有？谁帮他建的基金公司啊？明白吗？这里边都有买卖啊！
So the Chinese pump so much money through Wall Street that the Chinese can effectively manipulate U.S. policy through the Wall Street firms who in turn lobby the federal government. And not only that, but this guy's claiming something that many Republicans have been concerned about since even before the election, that Joe Biden is compromised by the Chinese and can be directly controlled by them. Now, you may think that this video is fake, that the guy in the video is saying something completely different, and maybe somebody just went in and they created realistic-looking subtitles and they just changed what he was saying, making it look like the Chinese believe that they're influencing Washington through Wall Street and that they have direct control over Joe Biden. And I thought this too. And so I sent this video to a friend of mine in Hong Kong, and I asked him how accurate the translation was. His response? The translation is very accurate. And so, the Chinese, it seems, are not only part of the deep state, but they're major players, at least according to the Chinese. All right, let's move on from China. Let's talk about the players in Washington, D.C. Now, when most people are asked who controls Joe Biden, I tend to hear one of two answers. Some people say Kamala Harris. Others say Barack Obama. I'll be honest, I don't really understand the people who say Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was chosen as Joe Biden's vice president because she's a woman of color. It was political theater, virtue signaling. But I actually think she was also chosen because if the Biden situation falls apart, Kamala Harris is the next most malleable person in D.C. The woman has no real political allegiance. She has no moral principles, no sense of duty to the country. Kamala Harris is driven purely by ambition and greed. And these are two qualities that deep state manipulators love because it means Kamala can be bought. So if Kamala becomes president, trust me, she will make about as many important policy decisions as Joe Biden does right now. And so that leaves Barack Obama. I just don't buy it. I just don't think Obama has that much power anymore. However, that said, people do have good reason to believe that Obama is running the show. Very good reason. In a recent interview with the New York Times, Barack Obama said, "I think that what we're seeing now is Joe and the administration are essentially finishing the job. 90% of the folks who were there in my administration, they are continuing to build on the policies we talked about." Basically, Obama's saying that his administration is back in power and they are securing his legacy. 90% is a bit of an exaggeration, but not by much. Of Biden's top cabinet picks, 12 out of 16 worked for Obama. The other four are people of color, clearly added in order to include more darker hues in the administration. But the truth is, Obama's people are in there. So the question is, are they actually taking orders from their new boss, Joe Biden, or are they secretly conferring with their old boss, Barack Obama? The reason that most people think that Obama really hasn't exited the Oval Office, but rather just moved it out of the White House, is that Obama actually lives in Washington, D.C. Now, this is very unusual for a former president. After exiting the White House, the Obamas moved into this $8 million mansion just down the street from the White House. No president since Woodrow Wilson has remained in Washington, D.C. after leaving office. And that was way back in 1921. It's generally understood as a symbolic gesture of respect for the new administration that a former president moves out of D.C. You have less influence over people when you're not physically around them. Obama, on the other hand, remained in D.C., and he is physically around them. To many, this seemed intentional. They don't believe that Obama was ready to give up power. And it's a good theory, and a very plausible one. And I certainly wouldn't dismiss it. But I'm not quite ready to believe it myself, not just yet. And the reason I'm not yet convinced is that Barack Obama can't command troops anymore. He doesn't have control over anyone, really. I mean, does he have influence? Yeah, probably. Does he have powerful friends? For sure. But can Barack himself really do anything to anyone? Can he really threaten anyone? Can he force anyone to do what he wants? Can he leverage anyone? No. At least not like an acting president can. And it's not like he's a billionaire. He can't just throw money at people or problems like George Soros or Han Jorg Weiss. So although I do think Barack is probably being consulted, I think he's definitely in the game in some capacity, I don't think he's the one pulling the strings. Not really. The only power that Barack Obama has is the power granted him by more powerful operators in the deep state. And if there's one thing that gives deep state operators power, it's money. There are two ways to coerce people, the carrot and the stick, positive and negative. If a child does something good, you give them a piece of candy. If they do something bad, they get a spanking. Well, this system works on adults too. In Washington, D.C., you just need to substitute the carrot for money. Money moves mountains in D.C. Certainly, we wouldn't want to call this sort of thing bribery, but that's exactly what it is. There is a variety of ways in which politicians can get rich in Washington, D.C., and Democrat politicians seem to do this rather often. I've done an entire video about the corruption of Nancy Pelosi, and if you'd like to better understand how some of these politicians get rich as public servants, I would encourage you to watch that video. But also, look at what Soros has been able to do in just the past few years. He's installed several radical left-wing district attorneys, Kim Fox in Chicago, Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, George Gascon here in Los Angeles, and that's just a few of the more famous ones. And look at what's happening in those cities. Look at what's happening in cities all across the country, Democrat-run cities, cities with George Soros-planted DAs. They're overrun with crime. Nobody's being prosecuted because that's George Soros's vision. Soros has been able to install an army of these people, and he also funds countless Democrat campaigns at every level of government. Despite being characterized by the left as a harmless figment of the conservative imagination, the man really does control a lot of what goes on in the United States. But there's a new billionaire in town, a new Bond villain that you probably never heard of. Some have called him the George Soros of Switzerland. His name is Hans-Jörg Weiss. Weiss is a radical environmental activist who's decided recently that he, too, wants to start pulling some levers in the Democrat political machine. And it's not just billionaire activists throwing money around. This is also the method of influence for powerful Wall Street firms and the military-industrial complex. And the military-industrial complex is a particularly nefarious entity because these folks aren't getting rich on something relatively innocuous like solar panel subsidies. They're getting rich off making tanks or producing the temporary infrastructure needed to support troops abroad. And although it is critical that the United States maintains a strong military, there's a difference between being fully prepared for war and actually going to war or engaging in endless occupations abroad. Full-blown war with other major superpowers has a few obvious downsides. Thousands, maybe even millions of American soldiers, and sometimes even civilians, die. And there's always the risk of losing, and in that case, America is over. So full-blown war is not really the goal. But little skirmishes, occupying a third-world nation, there's not much downside to that, at least not according to the deep state. There are relatively few American casualties. There's essentially zero risk that an occupied nation will somehow rise up and take over America. And the troops constantly need all kinds of support. Logistical support, maintenance, food, ammunition, etc., etc., etc. These occupations, these little skirmishes abroad, they keep the military-industrial complex money flowing. The American people get a little annoyed that we're in these so-called forever wars, but it's all good because everybody who's actually involved, well, they're making money. And they're all real happy. Now, since Trump left office, these various deep state players have ramped up their engagement by a lot. They've doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled downed. They're all feeding at the trough while they still have the chance. And they're trying to secure total control while they're at it. The last thing they want is Trump to win again in 2024, or anyone like Trump to win ever again. Now, the billionaire and the multi-billion dollar corporations, these are somewhat known entities in Washington, D.C. We have some kind of an idea of their influence, and although it is significant, I actually think there's another class of deep state operative that's currently even more powerful. This kind of operative, I believe, has always had a great deal of leverage in Washington. Sometimes it was abused, and sometimes these operatives actually exercised restraint. They refused to abuse their power, and they refused to participate in the deep state power struggle that, by its very nature, undermines the will of the people and goes against the best interest of ordinary Americans. But now, in 2021, not only are they abusing their power once again, I believe that they are actually the most powerful entity in Washington, D.C. I believe that it is they who have their hands on Biden's marionette strings. It is they who have the ultimate veto power over everything that goes on in D.C. I am, of course, talking about the FBI. Now, when I say the FBI, I really mean all the intelligence agencies, but I do think at the moment, the FBI has the most power. If you still watch Fox News at all, you know that the NSA has been spying on Tucker Carlson. This is an egregious violation of the law. The NSA is forbidden from spying on Americans, and yet they are. When they responded publicly to Tucker's accusation, they actually fell short of denying it. I mentioned this before in my previous video, but I think the reason the NSA is spying on Tucker is because he's been looking into what really happened on January 6th. And it looks like the FBI were the only ones planning anything like domestic terrorist activity that day, not the patriotic Trump supporters who aimed simply to make their voices heard. Now, with the rounding up of innocent Republicans who walked through the Capitol, with the recent raid of Rudy Giuliani, and especially with the Revolver articles that have come out that have exposed the FBI's probable involvement in planning and executing some of the most egregious aspects of the January 6th protest, well, it's become clear that the FBI is one of the most powerful organizations in D.C. and probably the most powerful. Again, I believe the agents within the intelligence services are the true puppeteers of Joe Biden. Consider this. It's clear that the FBI was compromised during the Obama administration. We know this because of what was done to Trump's campaign in 2016. But until now, I think most conservatives, including myself, thought the FBI was acting as the law enforcement arm of the Democrat Party. But I'm going to propose something a bit more radical here today. I think that the Democrat Party has become the political arm of the FBI. I don't think the FBI is working for the Democrats anymore. I think the FBI controls the Democrats. In fact, I think the FBI may now be so powerful that they are essentially controlling almost every aspect of the federal government. Last year, I discussed my theories about the deep state in a video entitled, What Happened to John Durham? That video was removed by YouTube. If you want to see it, you've got to go to Rumble. Now, there was no good reason for that video to have been removed. I clearly explained in the video that this was all my own speculation. In it, I proposed that DC was riddled with extortionists, all blackmailing each other, all keeping each other in check with compromising information, and if one domino fell, all the dominoes might fall. I also speculated that Nancy Pelosi seemed to have the most dirt on the most people, and it seemed to me that this might be why she is so inexplicably powerful. But parts of my blackmail theory never really sat well with me. Pelosi is clearly drunk with power. What else she might be drunk with? I'll let the viewers speculate on that. But anyway, this was my thinking. Nancy Pelosi is clearly a deranged narcissist. And she's a confident narcissist. She's a proud narcissist. She's a boastful narcissist. But why? Why is she so confident? Why is it that she's so respected in D.C.? How does somebody that reprehensible keep getting elected as the House Speaker? Democrats in the House can't actually like her. Well, it seemed to me that she's got a lot of dirt on a lot of people. But how? How would she have this ability to blackmail? This ability to leverage her colleagues, to bend them to her will. Where is she getting all the dirt? Well, there are only two organizations that have sordid histories of gathering dirt on American citizens, the FBI and the NSA. And then I saw the Patrick Byrne interview and everything fell into place.
I bribed Hillary Clinton $18 million. I facilitated a bribe for Hillary Clinton on January 14th, 2016, right here in this town, on behalf of the FBI. They came to me around December 1st, 2015. They told me Hillary Clinton had accepted a bribe from Turkey for $20 million. They told me that I would be working for a group in New York, FBI agents, who had authorization to set Hillary Clinton up in a sting. They asked me to facilitate a bribe for her, an $18 million bribe from another government. The bag man from that other government, I was to befriend, and I was to get that person 10 minutes alone in a room with Hillary Clinton. I did. On January 14th, 2016, Hillary Clinton was in this town, and she met in a way that was kept off her schedule. She accepted an $18 million bribe, and I worked with the FBI as I did that. They came to me 3 days later and told me I had to forget about it and forget that it ever happened. And I said, what are you talking about? And they gave me one excuse. They said, Hillary's gonna win and it's been determined, it's been decided upstairs, nothing's gonna be able to stop that now. So she's gonna win. We had almost a year before the election. They could have had me and another person in front of a grand jury in a week and gotten her indicted. And they told me, and this is the key to understanding what's happened in America. They told me, this is word for word, Patrick, what's really going on is this. President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy at this point, but especially the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing's going to change that. But think of there being a Bunsen burner within the Department of Justice. That evidence about the two bribes you were part of gathering is going to be sitting on the Bunsen burner. And the hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. If Hillary's a good girl and defends Obamacare, that flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and thinks for herself, it's going to get turned up high. That way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for the 8 years she's president, and then she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
Now, the FBI told Patrick Byrne that Obama would be taking charge after they took control of Hillary using the compromising data that he had supplied them. But why? Why, when you have all that power, would you hand it over to Barack Obama? I'm not so sure that part of the story was true. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. But either way, we see that the FBI had a plan in 2016 to control the presidency. Now, there is a couple of other major players in the deep state that we do need to consider. One of them is the mainstream media. But there's a reason that I didn't include the media in this deep state breakdown. And that may seem a bit neglectful. After all, the media is very powerful. They can use both a carrot and a stick. They can cover whomever they want in whatever way they want. They can do a puff piece singing your praises, or they can expose your dirtiest secrets. They can even twist reality to present a narrative completely divorced from reality, but that nevertheless causes millions of Americans to utterly detest you. Just look at what they did to Donald Trump. But there is a reason why I didn't include the media. You see, I no longer believe that the media, at least the left-wing corporate media, is an independent operator. The media, I believe, is now totally controlled by the intelligence agencies. Andrew McCabe, John Brennan, and James Comey's former assistant, John Campbell, some of the most vile deep state operatives in the history of the country, some of the men most responsible for the illegal spying against Donald Trump, these men have all been hired by CNN. In fact, the Daily Caller did a story in 2019 called 15 Former Spooks Who Work at CNN and MSNBC. I'm actually going to do an entire video about the media infiltration by the intelligence agencies, so I won't go into too much detail here, but basically in 2012, Congress effectively repealed a law called the Smith-Mundt Act. The Smith-Mundt Act was put in place in 1948, and it prohibited the domestic dissemination of government propaganda. Basically, the government couldn't propagandize the American people, especially over the TV. But in 2012, that all changed. And now, the Daily Caller only listed 15 agents working in the news media, and that was 2 years ago. And consider what these networks are telling us. They lie constantly, and it's all crazy left-wing conspiracy theories. The intelligence agencies are using the mainstream media to propagandize the American people with crazy left-wing conspiracy theories. And so I don't think the media really controls the deep state. I think the deep state controls the media. And I also suspect that the FBI is controlling social media. YouTube is now very clearly suppressing dislikes on Biden's and Kamala's videos. There's a whole website dedicated to tracking this phenomenon. I did a video about it earlier. Now, I used to assume that these leftist intrusions on our civil liberties were decisions made independently by YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. After all, they are all run by crazy leftists. Or I thought maybe they were getting pressured from Biden or Pelosi or the DNC, and maybe they are. But maybe they, too, are being controlled by the FBI. Some of you might wonder why the FBI would align with Democrats. Well, as I hinted earlier, and as I explained in a previous video, the FBI, if they are as integral to the deep state as I suspect, then they're not really aligned with the Democrat Party per se. They're aligned with the party of the deep state. Republicans are out. So if the FBI needs to work with politicians who are corrupt or unethical, well, they've got to deal with Democrats. The two groups just happen to be on the same team. But here's the interesting twist to the whole social media situation. If indeed the FBI or the White House or Pelosi or anybody else in government is controlling or even influencing these social media giants, if that is what's happening, then social media companies can no longer censor people like myself and simply hide behind the argument that they're private companies and they can do whatever they want. If they're working with the FBI to make these decisions, then this is a case of the government curtailing the free expression of American citizens. And that is a clear violation of the First Amendment. The same goes with these social media sites that are conferring with the White House or Democrats in Congress or with anyone working for the government in any capacity. In June of 2020, Twitter announced that it had hired former FBI lawyer James Baker to join their legal team. James Baker, coincidentally, was one of the corrupt players who helped the FBI spy on Donald Trump in 2016. While working for the FBI, James Baker took the unusual step of personally reviewing the FISA application for the Carter Page wiretap before it went to the FISA court. And of course, we all know that that FISA application, filled with lies and omissions, was approved by the FISA court, and the Trump campaign was spied on because of it. So James Baker isn't just some random FBI lawyer. He's one of the corrupt members of the deep state team who tried to take out Donald Trump. He's one of the deep state operatives that have been pulling the strings behind the curtain. Upon hiring Baker, Twitter's chief legal officer, Sean Edgett, stated, "Jim is committed to our core principles of an open internet and freedom of expression." Twitter's core principles of freedom of expression. Sure. Keep in mind, Baker was hired just 6 months before Twitter banned Donald Trump entirely from the platform. Now, if I'm right and social media companies are taking their censorship marching orders from DC, and these social media sites have violated the First Amendment rights of thousands, maybe millions of Americans, and they must be held accountable. Because Donald Trump no longer sits in the Oval Office, the deep state is back, and it's even more aggressive and more powerful than ever before. I believe that since Trump was so unexpectedly elected in 2016, Well, that gave the FBI a lot more power. Every other deep state faction relied on the FBI to get the money flowing through the corrupt Washington bureaucracy once again. The deep state needs to keep people like Donald Trump out of office, and so they need to tamp down on those who would vote an honest man into the White House. Currently, it looks like the number one threat to the deep state is decent, hardworking, honest Republican voters. And so the FBI has made this group of Americans the target. We are demonized as white supremacist extremists. We're called the gravest domestic terrorist threat in America. Give me a break. We all know that's not true. Even Democrats know that's not true. But the deep state is terrified of losing power. They're so terrified that they will come after whomever they have to. They will violate whosoever civil rights they have to violate. I think the deep state is so afraid of losing power that they've actually given up a little bit of their own power to corrupt members of intelligence agencies because they know that these intelligence agencies are best positioned to secure whatever power they have left. But when corrupt members of intelligence agencies gain power, historically speaking, well, that doesn't tend to end well. Now, if you're still not convinced that the FBI and the NSA are corrupt, consider this. The Chinese spy chief Dong Jingwei defected to the United States on February 10th of this year. Specifically, he defected into the custody of the DIA. I mentioned this in my last video, but it's worth repeating. Most people have never heard of the DIA, but I happen to know somebody who worked as an analyst for the DIA for many years, and I'll tell you how he described the agency to me. Whatever you think the CIA does, that's actually the DIA. So here's the interesting thing about the Dong Jingwei defection. It turns out that the DIA actually withheld the defection of Dong Jingwei from the other agencies for 4 months. According to the Western Journal, the DIA was concerned that Chinese spies or sources may have infiltrated the other U.S. intelligence agencies, including the FBI and the CIA. That is a huge story. The DIA believes that all of the other intelligence agencies may be infiltrated with Chinese spies. That is huge. Why is that not on the front page of every newspaper? Why is that not the headline on Tucker and The Five and every other show on Fox? But maybe it's not true. Maybe the DIA just said that because they didn't want to tell us the truth. Maybe these agencies are not compromised by China. Maybe the DIA know that they're just corrupt. In any case, the DIA believes that the FBI and the CIA cannot be trusted. Now, this is a pretty terrible situation. Can we fix it? I don't know. There seems to be two systems of justice in America today. One system for the common man and an entirely different system of justice for the powerful, the connected, the wealthy. A lot of us are praying that the Arizona audit triggers an explosive change in how the 2020 election is perceived by the American people. A lot of us are praying that Republicans can take back the House and the Senate in 2022. And a lot of us are praying that honest men speak up and that the corrupt deep state actors who have remained untouched while committing crime after crime against the American people, that these men are exposed and that their power is finally stripped from them. And I still have hope. I think all of this is possible. But a lot of people call me a hopeless optimist. Well, that's it for me. And remember, it's not that our liberal friends are ignorant. It's just that they know so much. That is not so. Good night.
If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain.